Internet bulletin from Sable Nugent, Santa Cruz Rave. Has anyone sighted a dude named Skeeter on the New York City rave scene? I heard he sent me and my friend Clove a cyberized missive last week. I never read it, Skeeter, but a dude named Thisby said you sounded all bifurcated and solitudinated, which is how I am in excess at this actual moment. I am stoked that you are all devoted to me, Skeeter, but a tad conflated that you additionally pledge yourself to my dear friend and Ferris cohort, Clove. But time is snappish. Clove has embarked on a sea voyage northwards with a pair of torpid 30-somethings. She thinks she is all vision questing and like that, and she desertified me at a Frisco rave, so I had to drive back on washed-out roads and tell her hippie parents of her absconsion. Needless to say, I am agged to the gills. I last saw her stark on the houseboat, buffeted to and fro-ish by the raging flood fat waves, and her penultimate babblings were as follows.
Gosh, green surf, spout gray whales, embarcadero am I, a sputtered eye for Bodega Bay. I cry on a wave, goodbye, goodbye, to my true dude Sable, goodbye. I must blow north toward the Puget Sound, for there's Brussels sprouts tugging me under the ground. And gulls fly low, queek whine, so-so. It's north along the Cali coast we go, hurtling the tangled waves, sparring the tarnished cliff's blade, bracing the ziggy shore zag, pleasure bark, whoo-hoo, ahay, let's brave the flooding day. Up the coast we fly, we float in a pillowed house that's partly boat, and away we go like a hungry goat, chewing the scud in our nave. We charge the Pacific moat, under the Golden Gate drawbridge, to thrashing rains we pay our homage, splurtle, splurt, spout, the fog will never give out. Wave your tails, ye gray whales, and stretch your sperm, 500 males, to Puget Sound we shout. A trailing twine of Brussels sprouts cord beneath the brine. Cores that climb out the California belly, up the neck of Oregon, to the head state of Washington. Ahay, ahay, ahay we go, up the coast chasing Cobain's ghost, back to who knows war. Yah, in the deep, deep, deep.
Or words to that effect. She was tweaked. Please come to Santa Cruz so I can talk to you, Skeeter. And do not wax all Jason Priestley when you get here, or you will never taste of my carnal delights again. I am desolidated. I lack Clove. I lack you. And I am being drained alive by my hectic Buddhist parents who have been chanting without cessitude since these rare events went down. I need you, dude. Savagely yours, Sable. P.S. Nobody else read this.
Spaz, move your fucking puppy. She's drooling on my boots. Fuck it.
Move it yourself. Shouldn't we get off the wall and go to the park?
Yeah. I was leaning toward the nature scene myself. After all, the sun is shining for once on Avenue 8. Jasper, Spaz, the park.
Don't you have any more money?
Aggrievedly, nah. I'm lacking lucre.
He's been hanging out with us for a week and he still talks fucked!
Perchance, Spaz. And on the coincidental leg, you continue to annoy the fuck out of me.
Ha ha! Squeeta boy is alright, I told you he was a punk!
R-A-B-E. Rave. I rave. Where's my old man's letter?
Give him his pile of ashes.
My puppy's chewing on it. Pork rind, stop chewing on that dirty, half-burnt piece of shit.
Give it to me. Jasper, you still want to go to the park?
In about 2 hours, I'm still hungover. Anybody got a stoogie?
I can't believe Giraffe sold my comic books for H. I can't believe it. Hey, lady, spare any change for puppy chow or tampons?
No, I don't spare any change for a dirty girl like you. Get you my puppy.
Oh, come on. Don't you ever have your period? Don't you like animals?
No, yes, you must.
Oh, look at that rich lady getting out of that cab.
Eat the rich. Anarchy. Ah, shit. That's my Anjanette. And she's not over much of the rich persuasion, you tax-sized knaves. She just waxes a tad fancy is all. She just...
She's wearing a fucking beige suit with pearl-top earrings.
Stomp the rich.
Aw, oh, shit.
Cora, I need your help, dear.
Huh?
I need you. I need your help. Turn off the vacuum cleaner, please, dear.
What is it, Violet?
I need to make something before I die.
Die? You're not gonna die. Don't talk like that, you know. You ain't gonna die yet.
Yet being the operative word. Did I ever tell you about my room?
What room? This room?
No, the room of jazz. I wanted to make a room that was like jazz itself. I told people about it during the 50s. It was when I was married to Kelly. We used to go up to a farm in New Hampshire. Lots of exhibits went on there, artists and sculptors and poets. It was Peter and Jenny Tricott's farm. Jenny was a very mousy girl, and Peter was very droll and always smoked a pipe. And there were lots of people up there. One in particular I remember, a homosexual poet. I'm quite fond of him. What was his name? Julian Beach, something like that. And then, of course, there was Sophie Flax, very good artist. She had a terrible time getting any attention back then. Terrible. But, of course, now she's the only one that they remember. Sophie Flax. I was at the Modern last Thursday, and I saw one of her. I took Balzac, but they wouldn't let me bring him up. I had to check him in the coat check. The poor, miserable little poodle. And I saw a piece of hers, and I stared at it for hours. It was a giant lady's clutch purse, black, iron, welded together with lipsticks and combs and hairbrushes. I thought it was very clever. I stared at it for hours. That was Sophie Flack. Elliot and I used to argue over her. I used to say, she's a fine artist. And he'd say, no, she's not. She's merely decorative. Nothing ever tempted me to leave Elliot. But if anything could have, that would have been it. But we weren't talking about it. We were talking when I was married to Kel. We were up at the Tricott farm, still sort of sitting around. And I joked. I said, wouldn't it be splendid to have a room of jazz? To make a room like that? And Peter Tricott says, oh, my old girl, all the rooms in your flat are jazzy. You've got us all beat hands down when it comes to decor. I said, no, not a jazzy room. A room that is like jazz. And I thought of it last night. The second time I thought of it since then. The only other time I remembered it was in the 60s, reading the Times. There was an article about this Japanese girl. Her name was... Something like eggs, not the whites, but the yolks. She married one of the,
Yoko?
Yeah, Yoko Ono. I said, that's it. That's exactly it. I could have done something like that, what this girl was doing. That's it. Last night, I woke up in a cold sweat. Balzac was off the foot of the bed. He's usually there sleeping at the foot of the bed. Well, he is a dog, after all, so he was off. And I thought of the room of jazz, and I've got to make it. All long, dark blue plumes. One has to take off one's clothes and walk nude through it. Carpet soaked in whiskey. Burgundy walls. Brass shells plunging from the walls and little tiny mirrors all bent and crooked looking at one another. Doorknobs of fur, loads of smoke, fire, blood. Will you help me make it? Never mind the house cleaning. Let's make the room.
I would. I would, Violet. You know I would. But what you're describing sounds impossible.
Yeah. But so is Jazz.
Let me fix you a snack.
All right. Well, at least I told it to someone. At least you saw it in your mind's eye, too. At least I won't die without anyone else knowing about the Room of Jazz.
Die? Will you stop talking about dying? I can barely tolerate all the other folks I clean for. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Don't worry. You're right. I have no plans whatsoever to die. I'll just keep going. I'll have a few slices of the sweet pickle and some saltines. 5 or 6.
Ezekiel, there you are. Come on, get in the cab. I've been looking for you for a week. What happened?
I don't know. I've been subject to vagrancies, Aunt Jeanette. These are my fur associates. Jasper, Spaz, meet my spanny change lady. I can see you got it.
Oh, really? Well, I earned my change sucking the cocks of the rich white male corporate elite for 10 years. If you want to earn some money, I suggest you go suck some cocks of your own.
Whoa, Aunt Jeanette, you're waxing perilously scandalous.
Ezekiel, Skeeter, whatever your fucking nephew name is, get in the damn cab and get away from these drunks.
We're anarchists.
All right, then. Anarchist drunks. Come on.
Fuck, Squizzo. You're not gonna get in that bourgeois cocksucker's cab, are you? With pleasure. Bye, associates. Bye, Jasper. Bye, Spaz. Bye, Pork Rind. Say goodbye to Giraffe and Mr. Spam and Cheeto.
Anarchy!
Anarchy! What? Ever.
Number two.
Now back to where you picked me up, 78th and Park.
Is that true, Antoinette? Is that how you got your apartment and everything?
What, you think I bought that place teaching my sacred crystal seminars?
I pondered.
Well, now you know. You asshole. I've been worried sick about you, on top of Paul having a heart attack and deciding to go back to his idiot wife, Polly.
Well, that's why I stayed away, Antoinette. I figured I was in your path and all like that, what with your emotional decrepitude.
So you just went to Avenue A and stayed there for a week without calling? How did Linda raise you?
On the road, in a bum-like fashion.
Was it the letter from your dad, Bruce, in prison that Linda forwarded to you? Is that what sent you off?
Nah.
Ezekiel,
Skeeter! I burned it.
What?
I burnt his croaking letter. See? Here.
Why did you save the ashes, then?
Never mind.
Skeeter, I realize I haven't been a very available host.
That's fine. No problem, Jeanette, dude. I hate my dad anyway. I only defend him to piss off Linda. I can't believe all those years you were sending us money orders and Western Union grams and all like that, you were being a prostitute.
But now I'm a healer, Skeeter, and I do fine.
Except you won't help me put a spell out on Clove and Sable, for whom I am waxing most pinish and melancholic. And you can't help yourself with your own twisted heart troubles. You're just like my Ma Linda, all wicker than thou with her crafty ways, but she's still the same fuck-up with men and jobs that she's always been. And I'm her son. And now I get a letter from Bruce. Dear Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Yep, so am I.
Dear, Linda might be a flake.
Yeah, she is.
No, it's true. Your mother's a total flake. But she loves you, and she is a good witch. She's a magic healing lady. And I
Well, I may have had a hard life. That's fine. No judgmentality about your checkered past on my slope.
But I'm not a flake, okay? I might have emotional problems, but I'm working on those. And even Bruce, your dad Bruce, well, what can I say about Bruce? He might be on the wrong side of the law, and he was a big partier, but he's... Well, I wish he'd been around more, because he's a unique guy, and you remind me of him, only you're not an asshole. Oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, I did. Come here. Come here, Ezekiel. Skeeter! Oh, Anjanette. I've been drunk for a week, and I don't even have alcoholic tendencies. I can tell. You're a stoner from way back. Right on. Oh, Anjanette, you feel so good. You're just like my ma, Linda, but you're even prettier and you understand me better. Your married boyfriend is such the asshole to desertify your fineness. Oh, Skeeter. Oh, Anjanette. Stop it, Skeeter, honey, don't get sexual.
Please, Anjanette.
No! Stop! Gaia! I told Linda to stop letting you sleep with her after age 7.
Excuse me. You're going to make incest in my cab? I drop you at the curb. Nobody make incest in my cab.
No, I am not going to make incest. I am a grown woman. I can resist the sexual attractions of teenagers, unlike men. My name is not Romanette Polanski.
Oh, Roman Polanski. Good director. I'm filmmaker. You know Roman Polanski?
Sure. Knife in the Water.
Oh, yeah? The Tenant?
Oh, yeah. Macbeth?
Huh. Oh, you know that one. That means you really know.
Who?
Oh, never mind, Ezekiel. Let us off here on Lexington instead. Let's go to the Blue Ship Diner and eat bloody steaks and fries. You want to?
But, Anjanette, the food there sucks, and aren't we both kind of supposed to be vegetarians?
Yeah, so let's go. Let's go and eat it all. Rip it apart with our teeth. Here you go. Keep the change. Thank you.
You're welcome. What's your number? You want a date?
Sure. Anatole Kamalski. I'll call you when I'm in the mood to cuddle up and rent Rosemary's Baby.
Bye.
Have a nice day.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Clove. Have we left Bodega Bay yet? Oh, no, we're just rocking here in the bay. That's how the Vivir Sonyanda Society keeps afloat. We just stay moored in our dreams for as long as we want to. That's how me and Kerwood survive. Oh, yeah, Kerwood. Where is Kerwood? He's on the other side of the Lemon Lady, speaking with some business associates on the cellular phone. Oh, isn't that a tad hectic? Since you're supposed to be living in your dreams and all like that. Right, well, we also live off Kerwood's family's investments. There's a little inlet of sunshine here in the fog. Come sit next to me. I'm drinking the Lemon Lady Special. It's fresh squeezed lemons, fermented rice water, and Calistoga.
Oh, the fog scudders and sways, scoops through the sun like through curds and ways. Oh, nothing, never mind. I've just been in a lazy lemon day since I embarked on your rare pleasure craft.
Maybe you'd like to join the Society of Vivir Sonyanda with me and Kerwood.
Do you love Kerwood?
Ooh, heavy teenage question. Of course, Kerwood is my best friend. What can I say? Drink. Drink.
I think I elucidated further my dream and my hauntings by Cobain the Friendly Ghost. See, I figured out this. Cobain was afraid of not belonging underground when he was alive. So, of course, naturally, he would continue to be fearsome of that, even when he's dead. And also, he was fearsome of all people that were all, like, waxing, all loving toward him.
So when I walked accidentally into the ocean at that rave, he wasn't just sleeping in his seabed. He was waiting for someone to haunt. And it would be naturally that he would pick me, because I rave. I'm not overly transfixed by his tragic grunge aura. And then he took me to the Brussels sprout fields where the farm worker dudes were. Well, they never even heard of him. They don't know who he is. Was. Whatever. And so when I planted the Brussels sprout in the sand, it was only natural that they would twine north and I would be called to follow. Follow? Drink. I'm adamant about getting out of Bodega Bay. Aren't you going to take me to Puget Sound? Isn't that what you do? You live dreaming?
Well, our dream was to wear Brussels sprout clothes, go to a rave, and there we would meet a young girl who would make a pleasing companion. Your dream is different. Drink.
Oh. I still think I need to follow my dream.
Dreams unfold into other dreams. You'll see when you get older, mellow out. You'll see. Just stay with us and drift a while. Here in Bodega Bay, I'm the Lemon Lady. Lemon Lady days. Abalone ashtrays. Will I ever get out of this California dreaming haze? Phase. Space. Quaze. Space.
Listen to the trains, Rosie. Listen to the trains go by. It gives me shivers. I like coming down here. Oh, it's gonna be springtime soon. Pretty soon, all this garbage that us garbage asses leave down here. Yeah, I know. I do it too. I know. I ain't making no excuses. It's all gonna be covered up with grass, ferns, stinky tree leaves. It's gonna be nice. See that right there? That pink halter top with that dirt growing all over it? It looks like a pink halter top plant or some shit coming out of the ground. That's mine. Some ride shot has cum all over it, and I took it off. Showed my titties right on the street. Told that old man who hates us, "Kiss my titties, baby. I ain't wearing this halter with some ride's mess all on it." I came down here and I threw it. That old Italian man, he says, "You a whore. You a bad girl." I says, "No shit." He says, "You get out of this neighborhood. You make this a bad neighborhood." I go, "This was always a bad neighborhood. You Italians think you own the fucking neighborhood." That's what my grandmother, God bless her, R.I.P., drunken ass, she used to say that to my mother. "You know, Debbie, these Italians think they own Hell's Kitchen." I told that old man, he got so angry he tried to beat me with a stick. It was funny, though. I came down here on the train tracks. I hung out all day. It was July. It was hot. I took the day off. I didn't even get high. Terry came looking for me. "All you all on 45 thought that I was arrested." "No, not Bushy. I was just hanging out with my titties, sunbathing." I used to come down here when I was a kid. Lie down next to the tracks. Feel the train go by. It gives me shivers. Here, you smoke some. There's a lot left. That's how I met Magenta Rush, Magdalena Rigoba. She invaded me. I kicked her PR ass the first couple of times, but I don't know. She kept coming back, so I got used to her. We both got beat. We was both ugly. But Mag got pretty. Bushy never got pretty. But she used to put makeup on me.
and we used to get whacked down here. We used to get dusted, and we used to do it.
Together.
No, I meant with guys. We did it with badasses. You think I'm bad now? I was way bad then. I'm gonna miss it here, shit. Remember that music they had back in the 70s? They don't make it good like they did then. Donna Summers, Jackson 5, Cool and the Gang, remember that?
I was still in Dominican Republic in the 70s. We listened to Oscar de Leon.
Yeah. I'm gonna miss it down here, Rosie.
Why are you gonna miss it, Bushy? What do you mean?
This is gonna be my last time getting high down here. This could be, it could be my very last time. Might be my last time on the tracks. Remember Cassette? That little baby bitch from D.C.?
No.
No, I mean Cassandra. I'm the only one who called it Cassette. Cassandra.
Oh, yeah. Her. What happened to her?
I made her go to Convent House.
You made her?
Yeah, I slapped her. I slapped her and I told her, get your ass off my block. You too little. Go. Get off my beat. Get off the street. That was last winter. And then yesterday, her and her new foster parents rode by in a Chevrolet station wagon. And she was wearing a clean blouse and a clean pair of pants.
What are you fucking out for, Bushy?
And she goes to me, thank you, Bushy. You saved me. You changed my life. You made me get help. And as straight-ass foster parents go, you changed her life. Thank you. And I go, no, no, I didn't. I just wanted you off my beat. I was just being mean. She goes, no, that's not true, Bushy, no, because you looked at me and you said something's going on with your family. Somebody did something bad to you. And it's true, I did say that, but I didn't say it nice like that. I said it all fucked up. I said, I wasn't being nice. I was just being an asshole. And she goes, no, Bushy, you helped me, Bushy. You helped change my life. And she kissed me on the cheek. And her straight-ass foster parents give me this card and say, anytime you need help to get off drugs, please contact us. And then they drove off in their Chevrolet station wagon.
Why are you bugging out?
Because it's not true. I never helped nobody. I never helped nobody.
That's not true, Pussy. You're a kind-hearted person. Remember when you helped me when that man raped at me and I was all hysteric and you bought me flowers and we took a bath together?
No, I didn't do that. I don't remember. I didn't do that.
Yes, you did, Bushy. You kind-hearted.
No, I'm not. This might be my last time getting high down here on the tracks. Do you think I could make it through rehab, Rosie? Do you think I could make it through?
I tell you, if anybody could, it would be you. Because you're one of God's own bitches. I've seen bitches, and I've seen God's own, and you one of God's own bitches.
Yeah?